Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. We need a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord, just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Thy wisdom and thy understanding, though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we walk today in thy ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord.
Welcome back to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. You know, I was just thinking as I was about to start the broadcast, I'm like, this is a new year. I'm doing this broadcast in a new year. And my, how much time has passed since I just, let me tell you, sitting in my den one day, I said, you know, I feel led to minister. Well, it's nothing new because I did say, and most of you may have known that followed me before, I had a Sunday afternoon radio program on WGPR in Detroit, a regular station where you go in and either do the broadcast live or submit your broadcast tape. And so, you know, those, I guess, yearnings continued until I started this broadcast again here on Blog Talk Radio. And so, you know, I started that broadcast, this broadcast, in April of 2012. And my, look at how much time has passed since I restarted this broadcast, 2012, 13, and now the first broadcast of 2016. Well, I thank God for it. I really do. I really thank God for it. I know God called me to minister. And I know sometimes you hear me and I'm sounding like your teacher. I believe, by the way, my first given gift of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, is teaching. However, there are times when I get really, really emotional and I believe I start preaching. And that's not really me, but there are times when I do preach on this broadcast. Well, as I always say, this is a motivational outreach program. I know what my purpose is. My purpose on this broadcast is to exhort, to motivate, to uplift somebody, someone. And as I've said in past broadcasts, not like someone using a radio ministry did not uplift me when I needed it. And, you know, to me at that time, being in the place where I was, it was a miracle to me. It was a miracle to me that God spoke through someone on the radio. And it was as though they were speaking directly to my situation. I turned around and jumped when I heard the minister speaking. And I don't forget that ministry. I know that ministry. I immediately proceeded to that ministry when that happened to me. Of course, I don't have an actual physical ministry at this point. And, you know, of late I've been thinking about it. Maybe I should go and have an actual physical ministry from which where I can actually touch the people, pray for the people, minister to the people, prophesy to the people. And I have not launched out there yet. I'm waiting on God for a minute, you know, and for his instructions. But that certainly would be to have an outreach as a result of this radio outreach ministry of seeing clearly in dark times. Well, as I always say, with motivation, we have to continually be motivated. There is so much that comes to discourage us and to distract us and stop us from operating in what God told us to do. And the scripture that I have read today, coming out of Genesis 21, has caused me to think. I said, God, I don't want to mess up my blessings that you have for me. I don't. I want to be right on point. I don't want to live and disobey you, and then when it's time for my blessings, I got some, you know, scratch marks that I got to deal with. You know why I say scratch marks? Let me tell you this quickly. Over the holidays, you know how you're cleaning and so forth, and, you know, I did not find them. Apparently, my nephew found them. A whole stack of records, the whole old way, the old school records that I had and both my parents had and listened to in the early 1980s. And so I sat here yesterday and just went through all the LPs, and some of them still in the plastic. It was just such it brought back memories galore here in this house, and I just didn't have a record player to play it on. That's the only thing that was missing, but it certainly brought back memories. But I don't know why I said that. You know, I just took a complete detour there. But let me tell you this. God is, I believe, faithful to fulfill his promises. We know it. We see it here in the scripture as it concerns Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. And there's just so much along the way we have to learn and we have to endear ourselves to what God is saying in our lives. And I certainly want to. I never want to just take things for granted with God. I never have. I guess I've had that kind of walk where I can't take anything for granted. Satan is sitting there waiting on me to do it so something can go wrong and I won't be prepared for it. But as we walk that journey of faith to get to receive what God has promised for us, we have to be careful. It's just we have to be careful. We have to really walk a straight line. And I'm seeing the remnants of it here in this story in Genesis 21 and as to what happens when we don't do it. Well, let me get to my theme scripture, as I always, before I get into the actual teaching from Genesis 21. It is 1 Corinthians 13:12. It's the same thing. It's the same scripture that I started this broadcast with in 2012. And, you know, I'm not saying it's my banner for my life. It is just the scripture that I began to embrace as I went through my dark times in my life and what God has promised in it. It says in verse 12, "For now in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma." That's when you don't know what God is doing. There's confusion. It doesn't mean that you're not faithful to God. It doesn't mean that you're trying to disobey God. It may mean that you're trying to obey God. That's what it may mean. And so you're confused. You get a riddle. You get an enigma. Wait a minute. I thought you said go left. And you look like you're telling me to go right. It says, "But then when the time of perfection comes, we will see in reality." First of all, God is going to bring us out of that dark and blurry place, that dark glass. He's promised to do so and bring us to the place of reality. He says we're going to see reality. Reality really here is the truth about what he's doing in our life. And he's going to do it in an intimate way, in a way that we will know is God talking. We will be familiar with his voice and he will be familiar with us. And in the last part of that scripture says, "I know in part, just in fragments." That's what I don't like, you all. I don't like knowing in fragments. I want to know it all so I can be prepared. All of the little detours and everything that happens in life. I know we get to hear God's voice prophetically, and even in our prayer time, or even, it doesn't even have to be in a prayer time. You know, I hear God sometimes when I'm walking. I've said it before, just walking through the house, walking, you know, into the shower, walking in the bathroom, walking in the, I've heard God's voice. I've heard him call my name at times. I've heard him call my name sometimes. But that's how we get to a place where we hear his voice. We know in part, in fragments, but then we will know fully. Because it is the time when he will fulfill his promise to speak to us, where we will know him fully and reality will be clear. And then I don't know about you, but after all that imperfection and confusion, I will be glad. I will be glad to walk in God's perfect will for our life. And it is such a will. God is not playing. There is such a will. Well, the broadcast is entitled today, "A Blessing with a Thorn." And I'm talking about Genesis chapter 21. We have been through so much with, I mean, as you walk through the scriptures with Abraham and Sarah, as they started, God started this promise in Genesis chapter 12. We are now in Genesis chapter 21. Look how far we've come. And I said I was going to end it here with a fulfillment. And I'm telling you the truth. I'm just going to be real with you today. My wheel of patience, the cycle of patience, kind of fell apart with this story. And I'm going to just speak from my heart here. The tags are here. You know, it is difficult when you get to the fulfillment stage of patience. and you got some issues and some problems still, to me, those things should, I think, maybe would have been worked out as you walk toward the promised place. But there's some issues that will linger. They will linger. And here with Genesis 21, what lingered, there's some issues that will linger. And let me say this, there's some issues that God wants to correct as we walk toward our promised blessings. One thing I had a problem with the fact that there was a thorn with a blessing. And as you know, if you read through the scripture, it was the problem with Ishmael and Hagar. There was some dissension, apparently, contention in the house. And so they had to be cast out. What an unfortunate thing at this point. However, it was a necessary evil of preserving everyone involved. Abraham, I told you this when I first began the series, that Abraham, you know, he did a lot of things that did not please God. But here, because he had walked through so many dark places and disobedience, he readily heard the voice of God. And if you want to find it here, it's in Genesis 21:12. God said to Abraham, "Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called." You know, he had learned his lesson about disobeying the voice of God and taking God for granted. He had learned it. And I am convinced that at this very difficult time, he had to cast that baby out. He had to cast out the woman that, he had to conceive the child with and had lived with. Because, I mean, I believe at this point, Ishmael is about 14 years old, and Hagar is much older than that. So they had lived together. They had bonded. What an unfortunate circumstance. They had bonded here. And then he had to obey the voice of God and cast them out and obey the voice of his wife. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, he was into obeying the voice of his wife a little bit too much, because that's how he got in trouble, by having Hagar and, you know, and then this other son. Well, you know, in this day and times with the blended families that I know people have, there's a lot of negotiation that has to go on. There's a lot of pleasing that has to go on. But I believe this. Let me tell you what I believe. The marital structure is the first thing that should be considered when you have blended families. And I believe the hierarchy is this. And having, I must admit, it's the least area where I've been experienced. I am single. But I believe that with a marriage, to preserve the marital unit, knowing you all going to have to be the mother and father of many nations, I'm talking about Abraham and Sarah now, you're going to have to stay together. You're going to have to stay in control. And then you're going to have to take authority and keep authority over what may have been mistakes. Nobody wants to think of their children as mistakes. Really. No one wants to look at their child and say, "You're a mistake." Most people don't do that. But what you got to do is keep peace in the home. I can recall a situation. I'm single, I know, but I had a situation in my early years, real early years, and this is over 30, 35 years ago, where I was in a situation with a boyfriend, a fiance almost, where they had family. I hope he's not listening to this. Where they had family, they always got in the way of the relationship. And I was immature at that point because I always got angry, I made demands, and so forth. But my heart was right, but it just, the way, the maturity part had not gotten there yet, where it would be a smoother ride to preserving what would have been a marital unit. Because I could not and did not have a maturity, I had to, the situation dissolve. But at this point in this story with Abraham and Sarah, he had gotten to the point where he got the maturity about the situation. He was always willing to listen to Sarah, but there's times when you got to balance it. When a man, and even if a woman now, if she's ahead of her household, has to balance things. There's blended families everywhere now. So he had to balance his role as head of the household, a man who takes control, has authority, not in a negative way, but in the authority that Jesus gave him, God gave him, and then balance pleasing his wife. Some men want control, want the authority, want to be the head. They are, but they don't know how to impose it on others. That's the way some leaders are. They have the authority and the control, but they don't know how to interact with others. A real leader is going to be followed by people that view them as a leader. They're not going to have to make them follow them. And so here Abraham is immediately acting in his God-given role as authority figure in the home, adhering to the wife that he had, and not choosing the bondwoman. She was not the promised source of these blessings, but God blessed her anyway, and that's God's mercy, and that's God's grace. But she was not the wife. She was the bondwoman. And he had to make this very difficult decision. See, once you get entrenched in a situation that you know you're not supposed to be into, it gets more and more difficult to come out of the situation. It does. It gets more and more difficult. So these are all remnants and residuals of his disobedience that he had to deal with at this very emotional time. You know, there were soul ties there. There was everything there. But he rose up to obey God as God and both Sarah had petitioned him to do. Well, God doesn't petition us, but he heard the voice of God. His wife did petition him. And it seemed harsh, did it not? It would seem harsh today. Most of these men would be on Maury Povich or something, you know. But provision was given to the child and to Hagar, both by God. And well, I didn't see here in the scripture where Abraham made any further provisions except the initial water that they were given. God supernaturally provided for Hagar and Ishmael. Seemed very harsh. You know, you turn on Maury Povich today, turn on Dr. Phil or something like that, that would seem so harsh, wouldn't it? But if you saw that. But God allowed this situation, and then God was the one that made provision for the circumstances. But why? Because he wanted to maintain balance in the home. And I know people think they can make it work. And today with, you know, seven women to one man and all this stuff, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Something's going to go wrong. It always does. I always see the fruits of it when I look at some of these shows. Something's going to go wrong. The man has to make his authority known to all and clear to all. And when he does that, some people are going to have some hurt feelings, really. There are going to be some hurt feelings. There's going to be some contention. And the heirs of Ishmael and Isaac are fighting those battles even today. That jealousy and contention is still today. Well, that is also a consequence of disobedience or just disobeying God or maybe just indulging in the convenience that you have before you when God instructs you. I'm just talking today. But you have the tags there. But you know what? My prayer to God, because no one's perfect. Sometimes we miss it.
My particular prayer is that I don't want to miss it in anything at all, because if I hear you clearly, if I hear God clearly, I'm going to adhere to that decision. I will not be honest with you right now. I'm going to be honest. There are some times when God is like, wait a minute here, I don't want to do it. I say to myself, I do not want to go and do that. But that is just something I say. It's something that I must do. When I know it's God, and that's my prayer, let me know it's absolutely you and not something that I want to do in my spirit, something that might be popular or something. I want to know it's God. If you're praying for me today, and I hope someone is praying for me, pray that I know the absolute will of God and obey it immediately. Immediately is what I want to do. Once I know it's God, like I said, in the dark place, in the place of imperfection, we miss it because it's a riddle, it's an enigma. Okay, it must be this, it's that. God must mean this, blah, blah, blah. It is a time that is most frustrating to me. And I believe, and I say to myself all the time, when I know it's God, I'm going to ride and adhere to God's word to the very end, because I don't want any thorns in my blessings when I get them. I don't. I want a time where God has said that certain blessings will come forth and there is a blessing. I don't want any of my remnants of disobedience to interrupt the joy and the happiness and the blessings of what God has promised me. I don't know about you, but that's the way I think. I think about it all the time. So my faith walk, my journey toward my promised blessing is a walk that I want to be faithful unto God. I want to be a blessing unto God and the people that I deal with, because I don't want those thorns. When I get ready to have and celebrate what God has for me, I don't want no mess popping up. You know, I think about, you know, some of those scandals, what comes to me when Clarence Thomas came to be, I don't know why I'm thinking of that, came to be appointed or nominated for Supreme Court, how that lady, I know she's a professor, can't think of her full name, I can see her face, came out, no, he's horrible, blah, 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 he mistreated me, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't like that. I said, now, here was time, even though I don't, you know, I'm not going to make a comment. I don't really care for his politics, but when it was time to get nominated, here comes something out the closet. Boom. Trying to destroy the blessing. I guess it was a blessing for him, not necessarily for us. And that's another thing. When God takes us on this faith-filled journey, we come out of ourselves. We're not concerned with just me, my family, me, mine, me, mine. We're going to turn into real leaders, as God called Abraham and Sarah to do. He called them to be leaders and fathers and a mother of many nations. And so Abraham here, he prayed for Abimelech in chapter 20, prayed for the women's wombs to open up. He became an intercessor. He became an intercessor for Lot when he was stuck in Sodom and Gomorrah, even though he had some issues, because, Lot did, rather, in lingering in Sodom and Gomorrah when God told him to leave. And so when we linger and when we delay our obedience, it can come back to haunt us. When we get blessed, really, when the blessing comes, it can haunt us. And amen to that. That's what I want to say. But God is making something of us. He's not just a husband and a wife and a child. He's making him a leader. He's making her help him be a leader instead of hurt him in his leadership. She's the help, not the hurt. You know, she suggested the Hagar thing. And so that hurts them. As a leader, I know one thing. Sometimes I want a man to tell me no.
If it's not God, I heard God on that. That's a no. Women should want that. God speaks to the man first before he speaks to the woman. I know you say, well, wait a minute here. This is 2016. You know, we're women in our own right. Well, God sees it the same, and I know it's true. Someone has to take the lead. Someone has to follow. And those are issues, maybe modern-day issues, but not really. Not for a woman who is blessed of God, called to do things for God herself, but knows her head was her husband. And here, that failure right there, being out of order in that regard, in this situation, caused some long-term effects between Abraham and Sarah, and we feel them even today because of the disobedience. So, like I said, I'll read a couple of my tags, and then I'm going to close the broadcast. I said in my first tag, promised blessings upon arrival can be tarnished by the remnant of disobedience. Sometimes the residual of carnal engagements can dampen our joy and happiness when the blessings arrive. Disobedience can have long-term, unanticipated negative results. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Now, he can fix it. He's the remedy for all of it. And if anything we learn from this story is that God, first of all, is in charge, but we have to bring ourselves into alignment with what God has said. Once we know what God has said, then we should instantly be willing to obey. And while Abraham messed up when he was trying to give Sarah away and all this stuff, calling her his sister out of fear, when she spoke to him in this last chapter in Genesis 21 and said, look, you're going to have to put the bondwoman away and the child away, even as difficult as it was, he immediately obeyed. And that's what God is trying to do in our lives. He's trying to transform us, make us into what he wants us to do in relationships, even when we're walking in singleness. God is still doing a work. He's preparing us for whatever God says, whatever he says, our ministries, our marriages, our relatives, whatever the blessings are, the jobs, our callings, our respective callings. God is doing a work as usual. Well, that is my first message for 2016. I certainly am grateful that you've joined in for doing so. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/Brenda K. Sanders. If you wish to listen to this episode again or any other episode on the show page, it's listed there. You may email me at bks1233@outlook.com. If you wish to have a prayer request given, responded to, a prayer or a prophetic word, I will pray. Sometimes prayers turn into prophetic words for a person, and so I'd be happy to do that as well. You may have a criticism, whatever it is. Please feel free to communicate with me via that email address. Well, thank you again for listening to the program. Talk to you next time. Enjoy your first New Year's week of 2016. See you next week.
I'm blessed in the morning. I'm blessed throughout the evening. And anytime I pray, a well of joy springing up inside, water of new life that cries. Oh, in my spirit, way down in my spirit, say in my spirit, Jesus is Lord. Can't receive the shepherd as he speaks. He must be sheep to hear him when he calls, to see him when he comes.
Glory, if ever God.